this evening, why don't you turn to the book of Revelation chapter 12, verses 1 through 17. You know, the beginning of chapter 12, verse 1, we come again to another parenthetical section of the book of Revelation, which ends, it goes from 12:1 to 14:10. And then within this section, seven primary characters are introduced in the book. Number one, the woman representing the nation of Israel. Secondly, the dragon representing Satan. Thirdly, a male child referring to Christ and also Israel. And fourthly, Michael the archangel representing the whole angels in heaven. And fifthly, Israel, the remnant of the woman's seed. Sixth, the beast out of the sea, the world dictator, the Antichrist. And then seven, the beast out of the earth, the false prophet and religious leader of the world are demonstrated. So around these main characters, not only are we going to have this moving scene in the book of Revelation, but it takes us into the great tribulation. Now remember I told you there are 7 years of tribulation. The rapture happens, 7 years of tribulation, in the first 3.5 years when the Antichrist makes his appearance. The first 3.5 years, he allows Israel to rebuild their temple in Israel. Once they rebuild the temple in 3.5 years, the second half of the 7-year tribulation period is going to be horrible. Horrible. Like no one's ever seen. Then he comes into the temple in the middle of the tribulation period, and he sits in the holiest of holies, and he says, "I am God, worship me." The Antichrist begins to come after the Jews. He's going to kill 1/3 of the Jews in the tribulation period. The rest of the Jews are going to go to the city of Petra, the city of rock we're going to see in a moment. They're going to be going there, and God is going to seal that city for the last 3.5 years so nobody can touch Israel. But in the world, it is going to be chaotic. There's going to be 180 pounds to 200 pounds in weight of hail falling from the actual sky. The stars of the heavens, earthquakes. I mean, people will hide in the caves of the rocks and they'll still damn God and will not repent. I don't know how can that be. When you know you're being tormented, as I was going over this great chapter, that the chapter not only is mostly symbolic, but Bible symbolism in the Bible also is given to us so that we can understand what God not only wants to show each one of us individually. And then I look at the church today and think about your own selves, people that you know. Even though we're living in the last days, the rapture hasn't taken place because no man knows the day or the hour when it's going to happen. But knowing that Jesus is coming again, how do we know that? If you read Matthew 24, 25, Mark 13, Luke 21, and then go through the other epistles. And then how can people today not truly believe that Jesus is coming? We were talking upstairs in the leadership room. You know, I remember in West Covina and also Costa Mesa that every Wednesday, every Sunday morning, before we even opened the doors, there would people line up outside to come into the sanctuary, to the services. Today, if you go to different churches, some of the churches are closing down their services. Because it's very easy for people to stay and watch in the internet. But it's not the same being in fellowship with God and being in fellowship with your brothers and sisters. Could it be possible that one of these days, as we continue to move in the last days, the churches will become empty because nobody wants to come to church but watch through the internet? That could happen. And that is happening. It's important for each one of us individually to make sure we don't lose that passion for the Lord and His Word. That we stay faithful and true to the Word of God. Because here in chapter 12, we're going to see that, you know, he talks about a great sign that is going to be shown to us. And then the word wonder here in verses 1 and 3, it is translated again the sign in the book of Revelation, a version used for the first time in the book of Revelation, a sign or a wonder. There are two wonders or signs in the chapter. The first great sign is the great wonder, and the second one is called again the great and only wonder. Now, in the chapter of great things, number one, we're going to see a great wonder. Secondly, a great red dragon, a great wrath of God, two wings of the great eagle. The word, notice, great. And yet, however, the signs are only what part of this chapter. The signs go right with the chapter so that we can see that this is truly the word of God. And then in addition to these signs, there is a struggle and the salvation and the safety of those Jews and people that are Gentiles during the tribulation period, they will come to know Christ. And at the beginning, he says, they're going to have to be beheaded if they don't want to take the mark of the beast. But it's incredible that the whole 7 years, even at the end of 7 years, there are going to be people that never took the mark of the beast. The goats and the sheep, when Jesus Christ comes back, he's going to judge before people go into the kingdom age. Look how he begins chapter 12, verse 1. He says, "And now a great sign appeared in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars." If you go back to Genesis 27, verse 9 through 11, he gives you concerning Jacob and his family, concerning the 12 tribes of Israel. So here we're reminded, not only from the past, but in the present, that not only here it was the first of series of signs that were going to take place in the book of Revelation or miracles. In chapter 12, verse 3, chapter 13, verse 13 and 14, chapter 15, verse 1, chapter 16, verse 14. We're going to see that. And yet the woman here is Israel, if you want to mark that down. The woman is Israel, who brought forth Jesus Christ, remember, in the book of Matthew. But also the woman, we're going to see, also secondly, it's Mary having Jesus. In the New Testament. But the symbolism here that is used for the woman is Israel, who not only becomes the people of God, but because they were given the promise that the Mashiach would come and be born in Israel. And because of the Jew, we have received the gospel of Jesus Christ. If there was no Jew, we have no gospel. The Jews are the ones that gave us the gospel. And then J.B. Smith cites, he says this in Isaiah 66, 1 to 3 and 20. He says there's a proof that the scene reference of Israel, it talks about Israel's future glory. Future glory. This is the second of four representative women mentioned in Revelation. Let me give you the first one. Remember Jezebel in the Old Testament? She was a representative of paganism. Paganism. Israel, in chapter 12, verse 6, it stands for the people of God. Thirdly, in chapter 17, 1, the scarlet woman who represents the apostate church that is coming. The apostate church that is coming. Fourthly, the Lamb's wife, the true church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You see, the woman before us as a sign is symbolic. He's going to tell us symbolic. By the way, the Roman Catholic Church has made the woman to be the Virgin Mary. Interesting. And if you study history, you go back to Nimrod, and Nimrod's mother and father in history, she was the first woman that was used for paganism. People get offended when we talk about the Roman Catholic Church. We're not talking about the church itself. We're talking about their beliefs, what they believe in. And people get offended. When I went to Rome and I went to the Vatican, you know, outside of the Vatican, they have this huge statue of Jesus and also of Mary, co-redeemer. How can that be? When Mary was the mother of Jesus, she was human. And the last time we see her is in the book of Acts in chapter 2 when they were on the day of Pentecost. And then there's no mention of her again. She never ascended to heaven. If they have it in the Bible, show it to me. You don't find that. Then why do people believe the lie? Religion puts lies into the gospel of Jesus Christ. Imagine how people get deceived and you have all these false prophets and teachers. The woman represents Israel, the wife of God. It started in Israel, then the church became the wife of God. You can go home and read Isaiah 54, 5 through 6, Jeremiah 3, 6 through 8, Jeremiah 31, 32, Ezekiel 16, 32, and Hosea 20, chapter 2, verse 16. So we need to understand that here in the book of Revelation, he's going to give us not only insight what's going to take place, but look at verse 2. Then being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain, and notice for to give birth. So as this is a reference to Israel, what is it saying? Israel suffered tremendously. Look at all the things that Israel has gone through. And Israel will continue to go through great suffering when the Antichrist comes. And Israel today doesn't even believe in the Messiah. There's only 10,000 believers in Israel, and the rest of the nation of Israel is atheistic. They're atheists. They do not believe in Jesus Christ. They don't believe in God. But this is the reason that the Antichrist has to come. So that the Antichrist comes and persecutes, notice, the nation of Israel, the woman, because eventually when that persecution comes in the middle of the tribulation period, even though they kill a lot of Jews, God spares many of the Jews so they can go to the city of Petra. And there in the city of Petra, they're going to know there is a God. That there is a God. And yet, in verse 2 here, we see the similar description here in the book of Daniel concerning the child, chapter 7, verse 7 and 8, verse 24. And then another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon, having 7 heads, 10 horns, and 7 diadems on his heads. On his heads. In the book of Job, chapter 1 and 2, remember the story of Job? Job was not only a gracious person, but he was a man that worshiped his God. He had sons and daughters. And one day, Satan had to check in with God all the time. In heaven, Satan came into heaven, and God asked him, Satan, where you been? Not that God didn't know. Where you been? He said, I've been going up and down into the earth. He said, have you ever considered my servant Job? There's no one more righteous than him. Remember, he's the accuser of the brethren. In the moment Satan opened his mouth, he said, look, you're always protecting him, so how can I get to him? And the Lord said, I'll tell you what, I'm going to give you an opportunity. You can touch his life, but go ahead and mess with him. The first thing that Satan did is he killed his family, his sons and daughters. And Job in chapter 1 says, blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be his name. Never curse God. Job understood what was going on in his life. In chapter 2 again, he comes, Satan, before the Lord, and the Lord says, have you ever, notice, tempted my servant Job? Have you ever dealt with him? He says, no, because you're always protecting him. He said, okay, I'm going to give you an opportunity to go ahead, but you can't touch his life. Man, Satan was gone immediately. And when Satan came, remember what happened to Job? He had boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. He couldn't stand, he couldn't sit, he couldn't lie down. So much pain. And Job's wife said, Job, why don't you curse God? And he rebuked her. Imagine having somebody, instead of comforting you, they're kind of rebuking you. Satan is a liar. Satan is the prince of lies. And here as we see, you'll notice the accuser, the dragon. We see that the dragon has been around for a long time, but the dragon, Satan, was kicked out of heaven, and one third of the angels followed him. Followed him. In the book of Isaiah chapter 14, Ezekiel 28, he speaks and gives to us where Satan had his five I wills. I will be, I will be, I will be, I will be, I will be. And then after that, God kicked him out of heaven. He tried to take over the throne of God. He thought he could rule over the angels. For me to read the Bible and to think that one third of the angels which God created, and Satan was also a created being, that he tried to rebel against God, three archangels, Gabriel, Michael, and Satan, that God created. Michael is the angel of God, his protector. And then Gabriel is the archangel of Jesus. And it is believed that at one time also, Satan was the archangel to the Holy Spirit. Just like there will be three false trinities, the Antichrist, the false prophet, and Satan. Interesting. And these are the things that are going to come to pass in the future. In the future, it will come to pass. When you look at the character of Satan, he's a deceiver. Chapter 12, verse 9 here. He's the father of lies. John 8, 44. These are things that Satan is all the time. He has different titles and different names. And yet, how does Satan deal with you and with me? Do we really believe there's a devil? Do we really believe that Satan hates us? And he wants to deceive us and he wants us to come and curse God? By the trials and the temptations and maybe the suffering that you're going through, like Job, maybe you already are bitter and you're clenching your fist to God. There's no fear of God. There's no reverence for God. And look what he says in verse 4, incredible. His tail, Satan's tail, drew a third of the stars of heaven, the angels, and drew them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born. Remember Herod was looking for Jesus? Herod was a type of Satan, wanted to kill Jesus, and he killed 2-year-olds and under, remember, as he gave the command, thinking that he would kill the Messiah. Here the woman also is who? Israel. Satan hates Israel. Because the woman not only has a child, which again, the woman is Israel, and you begin to see that Satan, if he could destroy, you know, Israel, then there would be no power in this life. And everybody would mock and laugh at God. But did you know that the Jews are the only people that have been around for thousands of years? For thousands of years. God has preserved them. And yet, here in the last days, is God is going to use Israel. And remember that as we have come, you know, to become the church or Christians, it's not because of us, it's because of Israel. The gospel came to the Jew first, Paul says in Romans chapter 1, in verse 16 and 17. The Jew is the one that the gospel was given to. They rejected it, and because they rejected God's grace and love, God gave the gospel and grace and love to the Gentiles. For the last 1900 years, we've had salvation. Because of the grace and mercies of Jesus Christ is given to us. Completely and fully. And yet why is it that so many people can read the Bible and not believe God's word? That this is the word of the Lord. Look at verse 5. She bore a male child who was to rule all the nations. Who is that? Jesus. With a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God and his throne. So it speaks also of the ascension of Jesus. Notice how beautiful the prophecy is. Secondly, it's Israel, but here the prophecy is also of Jesus coming, being born, and then dying and resurrecting, and then being ascended to heaven from the Mount of Olives. And when I read that, it really excited me, because then I not only do I believe that, I've read it over and over and over, that God is real. And that God is the one that sent His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Not only to die for the sins of the world, but to give us eternal life. And the reason is because He loves us. He loves us so much that He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. And did you know that Jesus became our advocate? 1 John tells you that. When you and I sin, what does Satan do? He's the accuser of the brethren. And as the Father sitting, Jesus, our lawyer or advocate, when He comes into the presence of God and accuses you day and night, Jesus as our lawyer stands for us and He says to the Father, Father, He's one of mine and Satan can do nothing about it. I love having that kind of a lawyer, because He loves you, because He cares for you. And look what else He says, verse 6. And then the woman Israel fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days, 3.5 years of the tribulation period at the end. What does she do? She runs to the city of Petra, the city of rock, Selah. From Jerusalem to Jericho, across the Dead Sea, on the other side of Jordan, the city of Petra is there today. Completely, fully there, waiting for the Jews to come. Remember the prophecy in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 2, where Nehemiah not only was praying to go back to Jerusalem, and King Artaxerxes, God spoke to his heart when Nehemiah said, do you think it would be possible for me to go back to my people in Jerusalem because the city is destroyed? But before that, in chapter 1, when he got the report from his brother that Jerusalem was messed up, he prayed and he prayed and he prayed. He was a cupbearer to the king. And one day, when he stood before the king said to him, Nehemiah, why is your countenance sad? In that culture, in Persia, the one that was a cupbearer, if he was sad, it would be a plot to kill the king, and the king would kill him immediately. But God touched Artaxerxes' heart, the king of Persia. And he had been praying for 4 months. And then he spoke his heart to the king. And the king said, I'll tell you what. I'm going to give you protection. I'm going to give you the funds. And I'm going to let you go. And he let him go for 12 years. To not only scout out the city of Jerusalem, but to rebuild the walls. Isn't that incredible how God works? He has the power to do whatever He wants to do. But before the 7-year tribulation period, Paul said there's going to be a time when the church will be taken to heaven. From chapter 2 of Nehemiah, when the permission was given by Artaxerxes, it was March 14, 445 BC. And then when you go through the Old Testament, you come to the book of Malachi. 400 years of silence, you come to the book of Matthew. Chapter 1 through 22 of Matthew, when Jesus enters the city of Jerusalem on a colt of an ass. And the people spread their garments on the ground and they have palms and they're waving them and they're saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, save now, save now. That at that particular moment, it was April the 6th, 32 A.D. The prophet Daniel said there was going to be 70 weeks, 490 years for prophecy to be fulfilled. Did you know that 483 years were fulfilled when Jesus entered the city, and yet 7 last years have never come to pass yet? But they will. Very soon. You know what's holding the last 7 years of world history? You and I. The church. Once the church is taken out of the way, all hell will break loose. All hell. Can you imagine the lies that the world will tell concerning all these people that disappear? But the worst part, think of all the people that you know and know you. and you disappear, and what is your family going to say if they're left behind? Friends, all kinds of loved ones. Because not only you have witnessed to them, and you're living your life as a Christian, and they've criticized you the whole time, even friends. How do you think they're going to feel when they know that what you told them was the truth, and they've been left behind? And then they turn on the television or they go into their computers and the news are saying, listen, there's a guy that just has risen and he not only is bright, but he has the power and we think that he's going to be the next leader of the world. You know why I say that? Because the Antichrist gathers together 10 nations. And these 10 nations with 10 leaders. Today in Europe, we call that the common market. The common market is gathered together all these nations of the world. I think there's 22 right now, but there's only going to be 10. And the 10 nations that he gathers together, they're all from the old Roman Empire in Europe, which is amazing to me, from Europe. And if all these things are true as we read it in the Word of God, think of the people that don't have the information that you're getting even tonight. Or you can share with them, but they're not going to believe it. Another thing that blows my mind is archaeology. When you go to Israel, I've been going for 30-some years, and it's exciting because every year they're uncovering, you know, more towns, more treasures. Not only proving that the Bible is true, how do you think they found that city? By reading the Bible. They're uncovering all these mounds that are there, cities that were buried years ago. And what is that? The Bible is the Word of God. The Bible is the Word of God. And yet Satan hates each one of us individually. Look what he says in verse 7. He says, and war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, Satan. And the dragon and his angels fought hand-to-hand combat. Go to the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel, chapter 10. Daniel's praying, and he takes his prayers and goes to heaven. And on his way back with the answer to Daniel, he says, the reason that it took me 3 weeks to get from there to here is because we were having hand-to-hand combat with Satan and all his demons. We were fighting. Satan is real. Michael is real. Heaven is real, you know, hell is real. And you can read it for yourself. Here again, he broke out of heaven, Michael. His angels fought with the dragon, Satan. And the dragon and his angels fought. Notice what he says. Because notice, the chief prince of the archangels, Satan, in Daniel 10, 13 and 21. He stands against the forces of God, Satan. And thirdly, he disputes, notice, not only with Satan, Satan disputes with Michael, and yet Satan is a defeated foe. He's already done. He's running out of time. This is why Satan is so zealous, important right now to go to people and try to deceive them. He wants to deceive as many people as he can to take them to hell. And look at the millions and billions of people in the world, they do not believe in Christ. They don't even know spiritually what's going on. And here John is saying, war broke out in heaven, Michael and his angels fought with the dragon. So this army of angels against the angels or the demons that Satan took from heaven, those angels that fell. And by the way, Satan doesn't have horns, a pitchfork and a long tail, and he's ugly like a dragon. He's beautiful. Read Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28. One of the most beautiful cherubs that God ever created. And he fell. He says, verse 8, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in the heavens any longer. They got kicked out of heaven. The devil, his angels. So then the great dragon was cast out, and the serpent of old, notice the titles, the great dragon, the serpent of old, called the devil and Satan. The word Satan's adversary. The devil is the deceiver. Notice. He deceives the whole world. He was cast out to the earth, and his angels, his demons, were cast out with him. With him. So these are the ones that not only fought against the angels of God, but these are the angels that constantly are harassing you and me. They're called demons today. Demonology. And yet, when you think of the church today, that our Lord and Savior has paid the price for the church, think how Paul writes in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 to 18, about Satan, how he comes, and how he tries to get the Christian. And yet Paul says, if you want to fight against Satan, then you need to know how to put on the whole armor of God. That's the only way you can fight him. You don't have to be fearful of Satan. We have the power. In Jude verse 9, Michael the archangel, Satan was fighting for the body of Moses, probably to take it, possess it, and bring a light to the children of Israel. And what did Michael do? He said, the Lord rebuked thee. That's all it took. The Lord rebuked thee. You don't have to scream and yell. All you have to do, I rebuke thee, Satan, in the name of Jesus. Satan wants to deceive us. Satan wants to come after us. And God has given us the power, not only to put on the armor of God, but to be able to say, I, the Lord rebuke thee, Satan. In the name of Jesus I come, the Lord rebuke thee. And then, look, it says in verse 10. And then John says, I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, so now it's in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser, Satan, of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. Isn't that cool? He's been cast down. He can no longer accuse. He's been thrown down to the earth. It's incredible how God writes in his word, not only to inform us, but we can understand. Satan is no friend of any Christian. He constantly is accusing. He's constantly putting people into condemnation. Paul the Apostle in Romans 8:1 says, therefore there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. God has forgiven us for our sins. We're no longer condemned. We cannot be, notice, condemned by anybody because God has set us free. The blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed me from all my sins. He took my sins and he cast them as far to the east to the west. He buried them in the deepest part of the ocean and he does not remember them ever again. Ever again. But remember, Revelation chapter 20, 11 through 15, that when the non-believers, those that have been thrown into hell, and those that come out of the tribulation period and they're judged and thrown also into hell, when hell is open after the 1,000-year period of Christ, he's going to open hell, and everyone in hell is going to come out. They're going to make a line. The books are going to be open. Satan will be cast into the lake of fire. Hell will be cast into the lake of fire. Every demon into the lake of fire. The Antichrist, the false prophet, and then the line is set up. And the books are open. He says this, and anyone whose name was not written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. There's going to be gnashing of teeth. There's going to be torment. You're going to have all five senses for the rest of eternity. Torment. Thinking about being in this world and rejecting Jesus Christ. Thinking of all the opportunities you had and now it's too late. You're done. Totally done. If the world would know that, let me tell you something, we would have more Christianity. But they don't believe the word of God. They don't believe what the Bible teaches. Can you imagine if somebody, like in the Gospel of Luke chapter 16:19, he says, the rich man said this, I have five brothers up there. You think that somebody can go back from the dead and tell them about this place of torment lest they come here too? He could speak. He could see. He could smell. He could think. He could touch. And Abraham said, even if someone would go back from the dead, they still would not believe. And what happened? Jesus came, died on the cross, resurrected, and left. And still people don't believe that today. They don't believe. We have believed. We believe that God's word is not only the power of God, but it's what leads us to conviction and to repentance. To come to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ so that we enter heaven and we're going to live forever and ever with him. Look at verse 11. And they overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives, notice, unto death. He's talking about those that had victory over the Antichrist, over death, and they're in heaven. Now, this caught my eye here in that same verse 11. He says, and they overcame him, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb. Notice the importance of the blood of the Lamb. How many songs today on the radio or in churches, you know, musicians singing, how many times do they mention the blood of Jesus Christ? Zero. Go back to the hymns. The blood of Jesus Christ was mentioned in every hymn. We've moved away from the blood of Jesus Christ. We've moved away from so many biblical things in our theology to the Bible. To make all these songs that makes you feel good. Songs of entertainment and not of conviction. To enter into the presence of God and truly worship him. The assurance that I have as I listen to the melody that God not only washed away my sins and forgave me, but that one day I'll be in his presence, I'll be with him forever and ever. Read the Psalms. It's incredible how God's word just really comes into your heart, and God does so many things in our lives. The cross, the blood of Jesus Christ. And you know what's incredible? Read 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 to the end of the chapter. He says, for the message of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation. The power of God unto salvation. You see, Jesus overcame the devil. Remember in the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus was sitting there praying to the Father? And Satan came along and he was there telling him, don't go to the cross. You don't have to go to the cross. And if Jesus would have bowed down to Satan, it would be all over. But Jesus said what? I'm going to do my Father's will. And he did. And because Jesus did the Father's will, this is the reason we're here today. If he would have never gone to the cross, there would be no heaven and there would be no salvation. And yet the Garden of Gethsemane was a place of anguish. Where Jesus was on his face, the disciples were sleeping, and he was bleeding blood through his pores of his skin. And he came back and said, you guys sleep on. Lest you enter into temptation. And what happened? Because they didn't pray, they entered into temptation. Peter denied him three times. They were not ready when the enemy came. Are you ready when the enemy comes against you? Don't sleep. Pray. Pray. You can go and learn from the gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then he says, notice here, verse 12. Therefore, what he's been saying, now we go backwards, he said, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell on them. And then look at, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. Here comes the woe. And the seal. For the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows that his time is short. Notice that. He's running out of time. So the present time, he knows his time is short. So what he's doing? He's trying to deceive the whole world. He's trying to take as many people as he can to go to hell. Can you imagine how he must have felt in the days of Noah? When all those billions of people went to hell and only 8 people survived the flood? Because they were committed to Jesus Christ, to the Lord. And from that point, when God created again the new earth through Noah and his sons and their wives, that up to the present time, imagine how many people have died in the last 2,000 years. And if you go backwards 4,000 years, that today they're in hell. They're in hell today. All five senses. Satan will be there one day. And that's why, you know, to me, to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, to tell my family, to tell my friends, you know, about the salvation that Christ gives to us. And then reading the book of Revelation, knowing that this last 7 years is coming, and yet people don't really believe it, and yet the church is going to be delivered by the rapture of the church. And think of how many, again, people that sat in church, read their Bibles, but they did not live the Christian life. They messed around. They were carnal people. And when the trumpet sound, they were left behind. I think that's going to be one of the most awful feelings you could ever have in your life. To know I've been left behind. I've been left behind. And he says, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the seal, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows, notice that he has a short time, verse 13. And now when the dragon Satan saw that he had been cast to the earth, what does he do? He persecuted the woman. Who's the woman? Israel. Who gave birth to the male child. Again, Satan, Mary, Jesus, the woman, Israel, and then Satan trying to do what? To destroy the nation of Israel. Israel is God's people. I love the way he says here. And then he says, verse 14, but the woman was given, here it is, was given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness to her place where she, notice, is nourished for a time, times and a half times from the presence of the serpent. God is going to take Israel in the middle of the tribulation period for the last 3.5 years, and he's going to protect them in the city of Petra. And supernaturally, he's going to feed them like he did the children of Israel in the wilderness with manna. Isn't that cool? Look what he says. But the woman was given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness to her place where she is nourished for a time. Times and a half, a time, 3.5 years from the presence of Satan. And then verse 15. So the serpent Satan spewed water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman, which means he rushed after the women. He kills a bunch of Jews. And that he might cause her to be carried away by a flood. So he brings great persecution against the Jew, trying to kill every Jew that he can. But God spares many, many Jews to go to the city of Petra. Why? Because God loves the Jews. They're his people. And they're not only his people, but God will chasten them as he has from the past to the present. And one day they're going to say, Jesus, you are the Lord. And they're going to say, as Zechariah says, who pierced your hands? Who pierced your feet? Who pierced your side? He's going to say, this was done in the house of my friends. You did it to me. And then they're going to bow before him and worship him. Jesus. Verse 16. But the earth, notice, helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon has spewed out of his mouth. What God is going to do, the Antichrist and his army that are following after the woman, God's going to open the earth and many of them will be swallowed down by the earth. God will protect Israel. I love that. And the reason God protects Israel, because they're his people. He loves his people. He's not saying hate his people. Look, verse 17. And the dragon Satan was enraged with the woman, with Israel, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring, who kept the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Who does he hate? People that read the Bible, people that love Jesus, people that are obedient to the Word of God, and people that have a testimony of Jesus Christ. That is so important. The testimony that we need to have in Jesus Christ. And look at the church today. We don't have to go to the world. The world has come to us. And the world is in the church today. The world's in the church today. And if the world has come into the church then is possible that the church will be deceived. And they always go to the weak people, the weak Christians. And then the strong Christians not only have discernment, but the strong Christians are praying for the power of the Holy Spirit. And that the Holy Spirit will give us the power to come into the place where we say, Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. Lord God Almighty, Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Satan, Christ, Archangel Michael, and the remnant of Israel. Four things that he talked about in this chapter. The dragon, the serpent. And today, when you see people that you know like your own family, think of how many of them are so blind that they don't even see the deceiver, Satan, deceiving them. Hundreds, thousands, and millions of people. I would pray tonight that none of us here would ever be deceived. That we would get on our faces before God, our knees, and pray for those that we love. Those that we love. And if there's something you have against them, make sure you make it right. And if they don't want to make it right, that's okay. Your heart has to be right with God. You've done what you could. You can't force yourself upon them. And then God will honor your life. Remember in Matthew, in the Sermon on the Mount, when the guy was coming to the temple bringing his offering? And then he remembered that he had something against somebody. So he left his sacrifice, he went to that person, he asked for forgiveness, and then he came back with the peace of God, and he offered his sacrifice, and God accepted his sacrifice. The same goes for each one of us individually here. Maybe your prayers are being hindered. As your prayers are going up, they're bouncing up the ceiling because you haven't made it right with some people. Or you're living a life of sin. And God says, you got to get it right. Why? Because I'm coming. And surely I want to be ready when that sound of the trumpet comes, man. One shall be taken, one shall be left. I pray that every one of us will be taken and none of us will be left. Father, we come before you this evening, Lord God, to thank you. Thank you so much for your grace and love and mercies. Lord, I pray by the power of your Holy Spirit, Jesus, that you touch your people tonight, God. That you touch your children, the teens and the young adults, Lord God. And Lord, that you would help us to read, to pray, to understand, Lord, to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Lord, that we would be an example to those that we work with, those that we go to school with, Lord God, where we shop, where we play. Lord God, give us your strength, Jesus. Lord, I pray for those watching through the internet, Lord God, speak to their hearts. Father, for us that are here tonight, Jesus. And if there's anybody here tonight, we always like to ask people, if there's anybody here that somebody invited you, or you came on your own, but you've never, ever been born again of the Holy Spirit, then you'll never see God. If you want to see God, if you want to go to heaven, then you need to repent of your sins. You need to acknowledge Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And the only way to do that is to look at your heart, stand up, and then come up to the front. We're going to pray a simple prayer of faith. And then the Bible says he's going to come into your heart. He's going to write your name in the book of life. And he's going to give you the assurance that if you die, you'll go to heaven. Let's worship. You get up and you come, whoever you are. You know what's cool? It's not a religion, it's a relationship. The two R's, religion and relationship. Religion sends people to hell. Relationship brings you to heaven. As you submit your life to him, as you ask him to come into your heart, he writes your name in the book of life. He gives you your security that if you would die today or tomorrow, the next day, you would go to heaven. I mean, how much more do you want? when Satan doesn't give you anything but death. Anybody else before I pray? Always want to make sure. Father, we are so thankful for these. For those, Father, watching through the internet. And those of you that have come, I want you to pray with me this prayer. Repeat after me. Dear Jesus, please forgive me, Lord, for all of my sins. I confess to you that I have sinned against you. I ask you to cleanse me, wash me by your blood. I receive you as my personal God. And I ask you to baptize me with your Holy Spirit and with your love. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're going to give us a Bible. See that guy right over there? You guys go right over there. Awesome. Awesome. That's neat.